I heard something on the Day of Atonement. My wife and I were blessed to be able to get here a little bit early this year. It's nice to get here early and just kind of get into the feast, settle into the feast earlier. And on the Day of Atonement, I heard a phrase that I think I'm going to use a lot more. I believe this with all my heart, but the man started out his message by saying, "I love God's Word. Oh, I love God's Word." I had a curiosity about God and His ways and His Word before I remember even being able to walk. The kids in my neighborhood talked about God all the time. They brought their Bibles out in the neighborhood, and we talked about God and the angels and things like that. And my mother actually heard words that changed her life when I was 8 years old. She heard a man say, "Why were you born?" And she said, "That's a good question." And she memorized that telephone number, and she memorized that street address. And within a matter of a week or so, she had words in her hand that changed all of our lives. I began hearing stories about the millennium, about God's kingdom, about how to keep the Sabbath, and oh, what would happen if I didn't keep the Sabbath very well. That's what I heard. Very quickly in life, I started hearing about this place, this time called the millennium. Imagine, if you will, right now, just imagine. We've been imagining all during the feast so far. Imagine again the very beginning of the millennium, when order finally is restored to the earth. Think about this. Jesus Christ has brought a new meaning to shock and awe to the peoples of the earth. How real is that to us? In the last few months, I've been thinking about this a lot, and specifically that time period, the beginning of the millennium, and what those days may be like, what I might be doing, what we'll all be doing, how can we help, and who will need us? You know, we've had a great taste of that so far, seeing who we can help. Who we can help. Who can we serve? How real is that time ahead of us very shortly right now? And do we have a sense of urgency? I mean, boy, the last year or so, the news certainly gets our attention, does it not? I mean, you see the pieces and parts moving around in this world, and you think, wow, is Christ's return close? You know, it's funny to me. When I was a kid, I didn't need much urgency about the kingdom and the millennium. I was excited about it, but I felt like I wanted to have time to get married first. And I wanted to have time to go to school, get a job, have a family, and maybe the kingdom can come when I'm 30 or 40. Or something like that. Or, oh, actually, you know, 25 would have been fine with me. 25 or 30. And now here I am, it's a little bit longer than that. And my hair actually has a few grays poking through once in a while. You know, my wife is blessed with a wonderful dome of gray hair. That means that she's a lot holier than me. She's smarter. She's wiser. How real is that time? You know, people with white hair have a lot more urgency than I had when I was a kid. Naturally, at the feast, many themes have popped out about the millennium and to all of our delights. Lots of verses in Ezekiel and the Gospels cover that time period with excitement. But especially one of my favorite books, a book that used to intimidate me, you know, up until maybe 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, I thought the book of Isaiah was just unbelievable. How could I get into that? But then I did. And I did. Practically memorized Isaiah 58 after someone spoke about it on the during the fall holy days, maybe 15, 20 years ago, and I made it my goal to completely dissect and take apart Isaiah 58 We're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles right now. And I'd like to go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, one of my favorite chapters. You know, I could point to just about any page in this word and say, oh, there's gold. There's gold there. This is also my favorite. Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1. This is often referred to as the mission statement of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 61 begins, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. To the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Imagine the poor and the brokenhearted that will be coming to see Jesus Christ shortly after he returns. "To proclaim liberty to captives." Imagine being a people who are poor, brokenhearted, captive, and to the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Poor, brokenhearted, captive, people who are bound. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." The next verse talks about some action. "To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord." I see priests of the Lord here today. "They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the generations, all the nations. It's very interesting, especially when we gather for the fall holy days, to hear speakers talk about the work that will be in process throughout the millennium and who will be serving who. Who will be working hard to usher in that long time of peace and bringing of sanity and righteous order. Finally, look around the room. It's those people are in this room. How real is that to us right now? Key words throughout Isaiah 61, just a summary, are so encouraging. When our Lord returns, we know this, there will be war. It will be shock and awe as that government is begun. But then, healing, proclaiming liberty, opening of the prisons, bringing comfort, consolation, giving, oil of joy, garments of praise, trees of righteousness, that he may be glorified. Rebuilding, raising up, repairing, being named the priest of the Lord, honor, rejoicing, everlasting joy, love, justice, truth, great rejoicing, joyfulness, salvation, righteousness, ornaments and jewels. And ultimately, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Wow. Wow. What a time that will be. What a place that this world so desperately needs. So desperately needs these people in this room to be getting ready to understand that that time's almost here. It's almost here. Can anybody say, I can't wait? I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait for that time. When I was a kid, I could wait. Now I can't wait. I hope the kids here can't wait. But a lot needs to happen before that can get started. But imagine that time. What will the earth look like after being almost completely destroyed? There will be a lot of opportunity for healing, for liberty proclaiming, for opening of prisons, for rebuilding of waste places, and rejoicing. Rejoicing. The King is here. Finally, order. Finally. Imagine the ultimate type of healing may very well be pointing people to King Jesus. Who did that? Andrew did that, didn't he? Christ's disciple did. Andrew brought somebody to Jesus Christ. In fact, he brought his brother, Peter, to meet Jesus. What if Andrew shrunk back, didn't do that? Imagine if Peter was never brought to Jesus. Imagine what we'd be missing in the Word if Peter hadn't been brought to Jesus Christ. Many others. Could that be part of what we do? Taking somebody by the hand who has been holed up in a cave, is hungry, maybe injured, probably injured, malnourished, maybe crying. With your other hand, you say, meet the King. Meet the King. His name is Jesus. Imagine what your role might be at the beginning of that 1,000 years of order bringing. Might it be priest? Interesting study. Interesting study for y'all who like to dive into the Word. Look at the different responsibilities for a priest. Look into the different responsibilities for being a king. Will it be priest or king? Will it be healer? Will it be teacher? What about feeder? What about feeder? Oh, I love feeding people. I just love that. When one of my daughters was married, she invited 180 people to come to her wedding at a state park. We invited everybody. Sometimes people get these big expensive venues and stuff like that, and they can only have 90 or 100 people at their wedding. But at Mariah's wedding, we invited all the churches. And guess what? People flew in from all over the country. And she asked me, she said, Daddy, will you please feed everybody? I said, of course, honey, no problem. I've done this for 120 people at Camp Tomahawk. No problem. No problem at all. 3 times a day for 5 days. No problem, 180. All the seats were taken. People were standing in the back to see Michael and Mariah get married. And from somewhere out of the woodwork, another whole bunch of people showed up when it was time for dinner. I counted 325 people that we fed. And somehow, the loaves got multiplied. The fish was multiplied. It was smoked chicken. But everybody got fed. I just love that. Maybe that'll be a role. Maybe I'll get to dabble in the kitchen in the millennium. That would be fun. What about the role of hand holder? Who wants to be a hand holder? At the beginning of the millennium, there's going to be a lot of people that need their hands held. There's going to be a lot of people who will need to be encouraged. Maybe your name will be Encourager at the beginning of the millennium. We see that there was somebody who was named Encourager. How about Patience Bringer? Are we practicing our patience with urgency right now? I showed up late for services the other day. I was supposed to song lead 2 days ago. For some reason, I just knew services were going to start at 10:30. And imagine my shock and awe when I rounded the corner and I saw those numbers over there that said, "Brother, you got 11 minutes. And I had to talk to 5 people before that. But I've been trained in patience throughout my time, in my jobs, all through life. I've had to learn patience. I think I made the mistake of praying for patience a long time ago. God says, have at it. I'll teach you patience like you've never known in your life. How about the role of peace bringer? Oh, peace bringer. How about the role of bringer of kindness? Bringer of kindness. How about the role of expert at gentleness? Expert at gentleness. All of these, I think I want to be a healer. I'd love to be a healer. Maybe I can heal people through smoked chicken. No matter what the role. First and foremost, we are Christians, Christ followers. We are now Christ followers, learning his ways. Jesus Christ is in the business of healing and restoring and building. We are called now, first little bit of people, we're called now to follow along in the family business. And to be practicing now as apprentices. Again, I'll ask, how urgent is that as a daily pursuit? All of us, we wake up in the morning and we say, where's that blessing? Where's that blessing? How can I be a blessing to others? That should be our first thought in the morning. So how much are we striving after the family business right now? How real is that to us? Let's take a look at the chief executive officer of the family business. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I mentioned to someone the other day, maybe today, I like to stick close to the script. Close to the script. Because if I'm reading the word, I'm close to the script. Not that my excitement won't get the better of me, and I may make a comment or two throughout this. But Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, my beginning note here says this is Jesus cleanses a leper. You think there will be any cleansing going on at the beginning of the millennium? When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Imagine that faith. Oh, that faith. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Imagine being able to do that at the beginning of a millennium. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." The next, Jesus heals a centurion's servant. Lots of healing going on here. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I'll come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." Want to be a big surprise to Jesus Christ? Make him wonder? Verse 10 says, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that same hour." Amazing to me. Notice there's not a whole lot of conversation going on here. There's a request, there's a marvel, then there's a healing. Amazing to me. Verse 14, another healing. "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them." That's amazing to me. How I wish I could heal. I can pray. I've prayed for people in the past. And I hear a couple weeks later they're healed. Someone else asked me to pray for them, and they struggle for 15 years. My youngest daughter woke up in the middle of the night one time with a strange flashing in her eyes. And she ran to her mama, as they do. We took her to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor didn't know what to say, but she couldn't see. Took her to specialist after specialist after specialist. Finally, they came up with a diagnosis of Irvan syndrome, of all things. Irvan syndrome, it afflicts almost nobody in the world, but it does Marissa. What's it, 11 years now? About 11 years, I guess. Had to do the quick math in my head. So she gets to go to the doctor and have a shot put in her eye. She did have to have shots put in her eyes, both eyes, every 7 or 8 weeks. One eye is good. The other eye is not. She's only 25 years old. Not only that, she has this lovely condition called scoliosis. Scoliosis. Every time I see that girl, if she's sitting in a chair next to me, I just want to put my hand on that spine and fix that spine. But so far, I've not been able to do that. So I invite you all 307 of us here today, I heard. It's the largest attendance at this feast site so far. I invite you all to please write down the name of my daughter, Marissa Fushi. Married name, Marissa Fike, but I'll never stop calling her Marissa Fushi. Write down her name. Pray for that girl. Pray for that girl that she'll get relief from the constant pain in her back and that that Irvan syndrome will go somewhere else. Please. That's why I want to be a healer. I want to just touch somebody and she's healed. Verse 16, and when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, this comes into my mind a lot. It's amazing when you have a biblical worldview and you love God's word, you find yourself in situations and verses just pop into your head, don't they? I know they do, right? Oh, this one pops into my head a lot. Especially when business isn't so good and it's a rough 4 months and there's nothing to take to the bank. Sometimes that happens in my business. And I have to look around and say that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't need a lot, did he? He had a lot, but he really didn't need a lot when he was a physical human being here. I think about that when I think of someone who wants to buy a house, and it can't just be a modest home. It has to be the biggest one in the neighborhood or something like that. It can't just be a $100,000 house. It needs to be a $3.5 million house. And this pops into my head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Wow, if that is an admonition for us to put first things first and be urgent about Christ's return. 23. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. Is there any room for fear in our lives? Any room for any fear in our lives? Why are you fearful, oh, you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Verse 28. When he had come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, someone can help me with that later, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, the Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now a good way off from them was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine, not surprisingly, ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed man. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. There are several examples of our King, Jesus Christ, who will be bringing healing to a war-torn land in the not too distant future. Are we embracing the family business? Are we getting healthy ourselves and looking forward to assisting the great divine physician? Can you hear the ambulance siren just a little ways off? Jesus is about to bring massive healing to this world that desperately needs that spiritual hospital, and he wants us there to help. Imagine. Fast forward. For anybody who doesn't understand what fast forward means, there used to be this little machine back in the 70s that people would bring to church, and they would put that little thing called a tape recorder underneath the seat of the person standing in front of them or sitting in front of them, and they would push record and play at the same time, and that would record Sabbath services. Anybody remember that? I remember that too. I sat on a metal seat at an ironworker's hall and watched my mother feverishly take notes and record every single word that happened at Sabbath services. Well, later on, she would come home and she would put that tape in, and if there was a point that she wanted to listen to from later on in the sermon, she would push this button. It was called fast forward, and this little plastic cassette with two wheels on it would go for 3 or 4 minutes until it finally got to the point. That's what fast forward is. I don't think anyone's going to have to fast forward very long from now until Jesus Christ returns. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I can't just read a couple of verses, because when I read a couple of verses, I go backwards and I go forward. And I think we've got to set the stage beginning in verse 1. It says, "After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." Again they said, "Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, Alleluia." Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Verse 13, my note here says, "Christ on a white horse." Now as I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on horses. Brethren, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? Is this becoming real? Real and urgent to us right now? Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's where we're going to be at the beginning of the millennium. Taking up our posts, learning of our assignments to assist the king. That will not be a time of becoming acquainted with the king of the family business. That time for that is now. It's been that time for a long time. It's not a time to even approach lukewarmness. There's no time for lukewarm. It's on the hot heat on the stovetop. There's no time to wonder what the truth is. The truth is being brought in this room every day of this Feast of Tabernacles so far. And it will continue. We know the battle plan. And the time to execute is now. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Just setting the stage, getting to the point in a few paragraphs here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me! I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. This is Isaiah speaking, right before he got the commission of his life. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who will go for us? Then I, Isaiah, said, Here I am, send me. He said, What? Here I am, send me. We may get that opportunity. Here I am, send me. Now is the time to be getting ready to assist King Jesus in the family business at the beginning of the millennium. King Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who's called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who we're here to assist, to be getting ready to assist. How ready now are we to say, Here I am, send me.